It's just the news, according to me. Well, here we go. This is Tuesday afternoon show, February 16th, 4:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Temperature, you don't want to know. I am at my studio, and I just want to say there is about 500 feet of snow outside, if you measure it horizontally. Not sure how that works, but that's what I'm doing. I'm measuring it horizontally. I'm going with that. Now we've got a tremendous amount of snow last night, and let's just say it was real interesting getting in here to the. I don't have a snow plowing service because that costs money, and even though I make millions of dollars a day with this broadcast, I'm just not going to, you know, splurge the change to pay somebody $20 to shovel my parking lot out. Ain't going to happen, because that would be overhead. I'm not into overhead. I've got an underhead. Lots of things happening in the old world today, and one is I have nothing to drink. I took off without my sweet tea. I didn't turn on the hot water heater thing. The hot water heater. Do you have to heat hot water? The actual thing that makes my water hot. I got a little boiler thing I use to make my. It's a little pitcher. You just push the button and it heats it up, and I make my tea and my hot chocolate with that. Well, I forgot to do that. So I just started up the show here and I just realized I have nothing to drink. So this is going to be a very dry show. Very dry. You can almost tell in my voice now. I'm starting to sound like I'm starting to sound like Anthony Fossey. I'm starting to choke it up and it starts to sound like Anthony Fossey. Yes, arpeggio. So yes, Rabbi Rick again. I don't think it would have been wise for him to try to get his car here today. The roads aren't bad. They got the streets pretty well cleared off, but what they do with the snow on the streets is they pile it on the sides of the streets. And in order for you to get from the street to my little parking lot out here, you have to go through all the snow that was on the street. They pile it all in my parking lot. And I have not shoveled that. So I had to drive through it. And yes, as I spoke of yesterday, I have Volvo's all-wheel drive XC70s, and they can go through a lot. And so I just drove in and drove around in here like it was summertime. But most cars would not do that. I don't think most cars would do that. I'm almost buried the car on the frame here, coming in here. If I would have stopped at any point, I probably... Now, getting out of here is going to be interesting. I have to wait till there's no traffic and then get a running start and get through that bus, through that whole thing. But it'll be interesting. It'll be real interesting. But let's just say I've had some experience with snow in my life, and doesn't scare me. This snow doesn't scare me. So you got that going for you. The worst tragedy of the day is going to be not having any hot chocolate here as I'm sitting down. But that's okay. So we have lots of stuff going on. Some of the things that I said this morning, I will repeat this afternoon. I'm not going to go through the Nancy Pelosi or Kamala Harris. If you want to listen to, I did a little analysis of a few interviews that Kamala Harris had, and I'm glad I did that because I'm kind of got this funny feeling. Call it a funny feeling. That as things roll forward and they get this whole Trump thing ironed out, which didn't go the way they planned. Well, actually, it kind of did. I don't believe that they really intended. I don't think they really had great hopes in impeaching the guy. I don't think they did. I think that their whole goal, their whole purpose really was to vilify him to the point that his followers, you want to call them that, his fans would be embarrassed to say that they support him. Stop and think about that for a minute. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. All they're doing is making themselves look even just more ridiculous. And I'm not sure. Well, hatred does amazing things to a person's ability to think clearly. And that's where they're at. When you have so much hatred in your heart for an individual, good luck, because you lose all objectivity in your ability to think and reason and all the things that are going on with you. I guess this one, the whole charade, it was just so, if you take a step back and just look at it for what it is, it was just so ridiculous. And then of course, Nancy Pelosi, the way she acted after this whole thing was over, and the little speech she gave, and the little tirade, whatever they're called, the little tizzy fit she had, really kind of spells it out. I mean, it really kind of shows the true nature of what's going on. Calling people cowards, calling people names. Really, when you stop and think about it, she's the Speaker of the House, and she's calling out Trump for being such a pig and for being such a cruel, terrible man. And then she comes out and does that kind of thing, calls people names and gets in people's faces and points her finger and waves around. And I'll tell you what, this is why I'm probably not in the news pool there. If I were standing there and I asked her a tough question and all she did was point her finger at me, I'd be pointing my finger right back at her. And I would say, "Listen, ma'am, with all due respect, you work for me. Don't you dare point your finger at me. I'm the people that you claim to represent. Don't point your finger at me. I'm asking questions on behalf of the people, and you better answer the questions. If someone asks questions in a responsible and respectful way that we need answers to, you better just answer the question and not poke your finger back in somebody's face. That's as much disrespect and just flat out arrogance, in my opinion, on her part. This comes with, let's see, I figured out how many years she was in Congress. 33 years, almost 30, 34 years now, I guess. She's going on her 34th year, I think, in Congress. Yeah. Much of that time she has spent as the Speaker as well as the House Minority Leader. So, this is part of the problem. Term limits. Their terms are 2 years long, and the fact that she has been able to stay in that long does not at all show her popularity as a congressman. It only shows her ability to work the system to continue to win in California. I guarantee you, there is shenanigans going on there in her district in terms of voting people. She kind of gave up, as I said yesterday, she kind of gave up some of the stuff she's not supposed to say yesterday when she had her little tirade. She was talking about how this is when people come to us and want to be candidates, and we like people who are candidates who have to think about it, who have another job, who have another choice, who have options Really, Nancy, what's your option, Nancy? Stocking your freezer with ice cream? Your $30,000 freezer or whatever it is, $40,000 freezer? With high-end ice cream that you're so proud of? As the rest of us are, you know, let them eat cake. Yeah. And so, Nancy, just a little reminder. You work for us. And I think it's time that the people, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, and there's some congressmen and senators I really like, and I like having them there, and I wish they could stay there forever. But you know what? Term limits are term limits. And I'm sure there are plenty of other people out there that are just as talented. You know, if you guys would pass term limits, you could pass them on your own terms. There you go, on your own terms. In other words, here's what I'm saying. You guys could say, okay, term limits, you can serve 2 terms, or maybe 3 terms in the House and 2 terms in the Senate. And that's whatever that's going to be. It's going to be 6 years and 12 years. That's what you can serve, or whatever it is for your state, however you guys do that. And you have to set out a term. But here's the thing. You only have to sit out 1 term, and you can come back and run again. It's not limited to 2 terms or 3 terms per lifetime. It's just limited in a row. But you can only do that many in a row. You run 1 term, come back and, you know, skip a term, come back another term. Tag team with somebody else. Whatever. You guys could write those rules right now. But you know what? The people are getting sick of this. And I think what needs to happen is we just need to say, okay, you've been in for how many years? 3 years now? Or three terms? Okay, we're going to primary you. And just make that the standard operating procedure. It's time to primary that person, regardless of who the other person is. It doesn't matter. We're primarying you, or we're just not going to vote for you at all. If nobody steps up to primary you, or if you're fighting that, we're just going to vote for the other guy. And we'll vote for somebody else later. Because it doesn't really matter. What you're showing us is that it doesn't really matter who's in office right now, in terms of the Republicans especially. I'm not impressed with the GOP right now, with the RNC. I'm seeing more and more, and just like this with this whole hokey-dokey trial thing that they claimed that they had here in the last week in the Senate. You know, I think they had 45 senators that said it was unconstitutional, and then they had 46 that voted that it was they had 5 senators who said it was constitutional on the Republicans. Then when it came down to the vote, it was 6 of them. Then when it came down to vote for impeachment, there were 7 of them. I don't like the trend. I don't like the way this is going. This just tells me that you're buying into what the left is dishing out, and they're dishing it out of a cauldron of pig slop. And you're buying right into it. And in the meantime, because you think this is what the people want, and yet you go home and your own party censors you. That's what the people want, all right? Yeah. Go home, talk to the people and find out what they want. Don't hang around in Washington and see what kind of committees you can get on. Now, this is really interesting because now Flake, Representative Flake, good name for him. He is now he's being interviewed for an ambassadorship with the Biden administration. He was a Republican who was turncoat. Because they want to have bipartisan administration, a bipartisan administration. In other words, if you bow down and comply with what we want, we will accept you as one of our peons. And that's exactly what they're doing to this guy. Oh, look at me. I get to be in the president's administration. I'm accepted. Well, good for you, because you stand for nothing. And it's just playing into the swamped games and the stuff that I know happens. You won't get on any committees, just like the way they booted MTG off of the committees that she was supposed to be on. And they just booted her off, not because they care about her constituents, not because they care about the 75% of the people who voted for her in her district, which is unbelievable. Not because she's a hard worker, not because she is believes the right things in terms of, and you know, not because she's just a typical American person who wanted to run for office because she wants to make a difference. This is just punishment for supporting Trump, for supposedly having these wacky ideas, which, when you listen to her story, they're blowing it way out of proportion. But you want to talk about wacky stories. Let's talk about Mr. Kucinich, who was a congressman in Ohio for many years. Not a bad person. He was not a mean person, not an evil person necessarily. But he believed some pretty wacky things. He was out there in some ideas he had. He probably was one of those. He would be the left's equivalent of a Q believer. And that's okay, whatever. You know, vote however you're going to vote and make legislation the way you're going to make it. I just do whatever you're going to do. You know, it's there are supposed to be checks and balances, so you should be able to be there and be. And he was on all kinds of committees. He was there for many, many years. So don't tell me that. But this isn't some kind of game they're playing. They want to punish people. Now, I have heard Ted Cruz come out now and make some comments about the violent terrorist attack and the terrorists that attacked the Capitol on the January 6th. Now, that could be. To call it a terrorist attack, okay, maybe there's more to it that he's not telling us. I have to at least give him credit there, because it could have been, maybe he's referring to the fact that Antifa were the ones that actually did what happened there. So that could be part of it. And I don't know. I don't know if that's what he's getting at or not. I think that there were a lot of people who were caught up in the moment. But they continue to call it this. There has finally been some people coming out, kind of standing up for him and talking about how they're yeah. I've been looking at some Parler's back online now. I've been looking at some headlines here. Democrat who harassed calling for doxing of pro-life teens announces bid for PA lieutenant governor. Isn't that great? That's great. Can't wait for that. And also, one of the things I want to get at, and I'm glad I brought up Kamala Harris this morning and talked a little bit about her phoniness and what she's like and how she is. Now, okay. I have this feeling that she is basically in the process of stepping into certain roles. They're starting to groom her already and putting her into certain roles. And sure enough, I had this feeling this morning that we need to start focusing on the Harris administration, because I think that this is getting very close to happening. Has anyone seen Joe make any speeches lately or do anything or travel anywhere, or go anywhere, or do anything? No. Kamala Harris is now taking calls from heads of state. This is a presidential role. She's been calling world leaders on behalf of Joe Biden. Now, there's a reason for that. I'm sure she's calling and saying, "It was a debate." It was a debate. I don't know what she's saying, but I assume she's repeating herself and she's being all nicey-nicey and trying to pretend like she's an adult, which she's not. She's a child. This she is such a phony. It is. There's more of a phony than Joe is. Lindsey Graham has made some comments about, again, he brings out the Pandora's box. Senator Graham says VP Harris could be impeached if Republicans take back the House. Yeah, and then, you know, it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. Because guess what? Well, you know, I guess depending on what happens with the Senate in 2022, it would be possible. It is possible. However, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know. I just don't think that the Republicans have the political will to go through with that. You know, right now everybody's charged up and all, you know, going nuts about it. Now, I don't know. I'm not sold completely that the Democrats want, that the DNC wants Harris to be the president. I know Obama wants her to be the president because of things that he said during the primaries. It was very telling when he was talking about the candidates, and he wouldn't endorse anyone. But it was very telling the way he acted with concerning Comey. So I think that there's something brewing there. Now, I don't know. I don't know how far that will go. But so that's happening right now. Now, they have said that they're going to go ahead with this 9/11 style commission investigation. So they're going to have a January 6th commission, independent commission. And one of the people who are really pushing it, of course, is Mr. what's his name? Schwalwell. Yeah, that guy. He's gonna push it as much as possible because he's trying to push something out of it. But he was going on and on about it, talking about how they need to have this independent commission. Of course, the independent commission will be who's going to be on the commission? Tell me that. Let's just talk about that for a moment, shall we? Yeah. It's going to be people probably who are Democrats, Democrat approved, because the House will put this together. It will supposedly be a bipartisan commission, but you know that's not the case. And it's going to be the phoniest thing you've ever seen. And we will not get any real information details about anything about in this commission. It's going to be, and of course they'll have this huge budget that these people will be able to operate under, and they'll have all kinds of investigative powers. And we will not hear, they will cover things up. They will cover up who actually was there. Now let's face it. Okay, one of the people who broke in that day was John Sullivan. And you know there was more than just John Sullivan there in terms of people on the left, the leftist, the anarchist, Antifa, BLM people. You know that there was more than that. Tell me. Now, John Sullivan was not a Trump supporter. What was he doing there that day? Why was he busting into the Capitol? Earlier in the day, he is on record on video saying, we're going to go rip Trump out of his office. I don't care if he lost the election or not. I don't care. We're not going to wait until January 20th. We're ripping him out now. We're going in to rip him out of the office now. And Nancy Pelosi has no problem with that. Nancy Pelosi mentions nothing of that, because she doesn't care about the office of the president. She only cares about what she cares about. She's so blind with hatred and anger and just bitterness. It's just unbelievable. I think Jadex is his nickname. John Sullivan. This is John Sullivan guy. Jadex, I think is what it is. I didn't write it down, but I think that's, if I remember right, it's Jadex. Because he has to, you know, I guess he has to have a cool name. That sounds mean. The guy's a little weasel. And, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with all that. But I'm still of the opinion that their whole reason for putting all this together, the reason they're going to do this investigation commission, is to somehow. So now I think that they realize that they have some time. They can bide some time now, because if they can get an investigation going on and find out, can find some dirt on him and do something with Trump now, they can go after him, and then they can come up with this reason to keep him from running for office again. And that's their whole thing. Their whole thing is to keep him from running for office again. And they really want to get him out of politics altogether, to have no influence whatsoever. Because right now he has a lot of influence, and he knows the system now well enough, and he knows who he can trust now. And he's got some people around him who have his back. And he can operate a little bit out of the spotlight. Unlike Joe. So let's talk about that for a moment. Now that some of this is all settling down, the news cycle seems to be getting kind of quiet. And you would think Joe would be in the light right now. Anybody talking about Joe? Anybody talking to Joe? Hello? We're still getting Circleback Saki doing her little thing and dodging questions as much as she can in the press conferences. And so she's doing her thing there. And when are we? You know, I remember days within the first couple of weeks, which it just kind of amazed me actually, that Trump just came out and did the press conference. Many times he did the press conference. If you remember those days when, what's the guy's name? The guy from CNN that he got kicked out of the press corps for a while. I don't even remember his name. I don't remember his name. I'm glad that name didn't stick in my head. The guy who was just really rude. He would sit there and yell questions that were, it wasn't to ask questions. Like, the president would be walking out to the helicopter, and you know the president couldn't hear it because the helicopter is screaming. If you've ever been around a helicopter, I used to work around airports pumping gas. And jet helicopters are extremely loud. They have a really high-pitched, it's just a scream. And the thing's running, he's walking out to it, and this guy's standing there yelling, "Are you going to do this, Mr. President? Are you going to do this?" Blah, 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 blah. Well, he's only doing that because there's the other cameras around recording him. He's making it sound like he's asking tough questions and calling in. Basically, he's creating a narrative and making it look like the president's ignoring the questions when he can't even hear him. It's all theater. Well, President Trump, if you remember, went to the press conferences and took the questions. He fielded the questions himself. And this guy was asking questions, and we get in his face and kept asking him questions, and there was even some scuffles with the people who were handling the mic, which in my opinion was very disrespectful and rude on his part. He asked, you know, let him ask like 4 or 5 questions, and finally he's like, you're done. We're done with your questions. We move on to somebody else. You're not going to monopolize everybody else's time. You're being rude. He called him out on it, and he's like, this is freedom of the press. No, you need to be respectful of the other people there that are there with the press as well, Doug, buddy. You're not the only press. So this is all going on, and Trump is fielding the questions himself. When are we going to see Mr. Wonderful Joe do that? When is he going to stand up there and answer some questions? When's he going to stand up and do a press conference with no idea of what the questions are that are going to come at him? I want to see that. I want to see that man do it, because this is the man that supposedly is the most popular president ever in the history of our country, has received more votes than anybody ever. 81 million votes, according to them. because he must have some kind of special talent and charisma and ability to do something. Yeah, you know, I wasn't really going to talk about this much, and I'm going to try to keep this show short today because just because of the weather and, well, Rabbi Rick's not here and I'm sad. So I'm just not going to go too far with this. But I would expect that with this 9/11 commission thing, this 9/11 style commission, the investigation that they're going to conduct, I would venture to say they're going to find some way and find some judge somewhere to bring charges. Now, they are trying to bring charges in Georgia, saying that President Trump tried to coerce the Secretary of State and the, I don't know if it was a State Attorney General, I can't remember who, I think it was just the Secretary of State down there, trying to get him to find some votes down there. And now they're saying that that was coercion and it was, he's trying to get him to manipulate the votes. He wasn't trying to manipulate anything. That whole thing down in Georgia was such a charade, and from day one, I knew from the second day, I think, when they came out with the final count, and the I think it was the governor or the Secretary of State came out, and I think it was Secretary of State, said, "This is we're going to do a recount, and this is going to serve as a canvas as well as a recount and an audit, all in one." No, apparently you don't understand the definition of those things with regard to election procedures. He didn't do that. He came out and said he was going to do that. That's not what happened. They ran the same ballots through the same machines. That was the recount. And they did it by what they called a hand count was them by hand taking the ballots and running them through the same machines. They did no hand counts. Now there were millions of votes down there. Now they decided to do an audit, an actual audit with the University of Georgia. You know how they did it? They had a bunch of people that they got together there at the University of Georgia, and they gathered up a whole bunch of ballots. You know how many they gathered up? 15,000. Or no, wait. No, I think it was 1,500 ballots, if I remember correctly. Let me see if I can find that information real quick. I think it was, I'm pretty sure that it was, yeah, let me see if I can find this real quick. So December 26th, 2020, Rocky Raffensperger stated that the audit will be done by the University of Georgia and will involve a sample of signed envelopes in each county from the presidential election. And it is intended to be forward-looking. I don't know what that means. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I can't find the number here. I'll find the number. The sample of ballots, I'm pretty sure, was 1,500. Oh, here it is. More efficient risk-limiting audit methods could drop that to less than 3,000. Okay, so here we have the presidential contest in Georgia. The 14,000 vote margin is close enough that a risk-limiting audit of the kind Georgia planned would require recounting more than 1 million ballots to achieve a 90% certainty that the results are accurate, Stark said. This was in a Berkeley article. More efficient risk-limiting audit methods could drop that to less than 3,000. I don't know what does that even mean? I'm going to look through here and see if I can find a number for you real quick, because I'm pretty sure it was either 50, it must have been 15,000, and they had each section of the, I think they had it divided up into 1,500 per section or something like that for districts, I believe. And I think that's how it was. 15,000 ballots out of the millions that they had there. So, it was 2 million, 2 point, whatever million it was. I don't see it right quick. But, yeah, so now this guy, apparently, they're pressing charges now against Trump. So there's that. And I don't know if they're going to have any other stuff going on there or not. I don't know what's going to happen there. Who knows? It's just crazy, crazy stuff. So there's that. Now I want to talk a little bit. There's a guy by the name of Kim Clement, and I've been wanting to talk a little bit about this guy. I had seen a video. Friend of mine sent me a video where a guy analyzes some of the prophecies that this guy has had over the years, clear back into the early 2000s, and all the way up into the years 2014. He passed away. Kim Clement passed away. But I do want to kind of talk about this a little bit because he said some things that are, if you take it word by word of what he said as he was prophesying some things, he did prophesy that Trump would be president. Basically, he said his name, but he didn't say Donald Trump. He just said Trump. He was pretty much calling out Trump as that he would win. And this guy goes over this, you know, it's typical prophetic style. It almost sounds very much like Revelation, the way this guy was speaking, because of the way he kind of circled back on something. Circled back, yeah. Psaki had nothing to do with it. But he was like, he was going in a circle and had this like a, this montage of everything put together all at once, which is very, that's kind of the way Revelation is written. It's not written in a, here's what's going to happen. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Then this is going to sit. And when you see this, that's not really the way it is. There's some things like that in there, but it's very much a vision of the whole picture all at once. And you can't speak it. You can't really say it all at once. Our language doesn't convey the vision that John had on Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation. It's really, and I understand what's going on there. It goes beyond your ability to speak, to verbalize what you're seeing. And that's kind of what he was doing as he was pouring his heart out. This guy was, if you watch the video of what he's saying, it kind of looks a little weird, but but that's kind of the way, you know, stuff is. I mean, it's just, but he was saying some things that it was kind of, he said some things about spring and the fall. And now we don't know what spring and we don't know what fall, but he said that things will be confused for a season and the people will feel fooled for a season. And he really laid it, the way he laid it out, it made it sound like it was literally a season, like winter. And spring would be a change in terms of, and things would be reversed and revealed. I'm not speaking probably exact, one of the words was revealed and uncovered. But don't quote me on any of that stuff. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me. But it was really interesting. And it was like, okay, maybe there's something is going to really be blown apart here in terms of exposing information and finding some things out. That truth may just be revealed. Now I know there's coming a time, and this is where I think believers kind of, we tend to want to see justice now as we're on this earth. There will be a time where justice will have its day, whether that's executed by people now or if it's, you know, on the final day when there's no getting out of it anymore. There's no turning back. There's no repentance after that. And because there's Judgment Day. Judgment Day is a real thing and it's coming. And it's not going to be a pleasant day for anyone. For those who are covered by the sacrifice that Messiah made, it will be a heart-wrenching day to see. It's one of those parallels of joy that justice is finally served, that judgment is finally done and all the arguments are put to sleep. At the same time, it will be very heart-wrenching to see see it all happen. I mean, it's going to be an immense, powerful time. So but it's going to happen. And that day's coming. You're going to stand before God and you're going to answer for your life. And Wayne Watson wrote a song. It's called, it's called Born in Zion. If you get a chance, look it up. It's a pretty good song. But all the stuff that's happening, and I think people, Christians right now, we want to see justice on the earth right now. We want to see that happen. I think that's where the whole Q thing kind of draws people in, because we want to believe there's these people behind the scenes that are just about to step in and root out all the bad people, get all the pedophiles and the people who are seeking to destroy the earth and to enslave us and keep us, all the evil people. Well, that is going to happen. It's probably not, not as Q says it is. This is a counterfeit. The tares and the wheat are going to, it's a matter of time we get plucked out of this thing. But I think that kind of draws people into that. In the meantime, Scripture doesn't really go along with that idea. There's going to be some birth pangs, some really bad times people are going to go through. And I do believe we will be raptured out of here before that, before the really, really bad stuff. We're going to see the birth pangs. We're going to live through some of the issues. It's not going to be easy for Christians for a while. The early church went through persecution. I think the ending church is going to go through some persecution. We're seeing it already. We're seeing some persecution now. And I think that it's, the stage is being set. And I believe that God will pour out his Spirit upon all men as has been prophesied. And as even Peter rose up and repeated that on the day of Pentecost. That was the foretaste, if you will, of things to come near the end. So that's my story about that. And I'm not going to get too deeply into the whole theological Bible teaching. I'll leave that to Rabbi Rick. You can direct your questions to him. I'll make the mess. He can clean it up. How's that? So really, that's really all I had for the show today. And I do appreciate the fact that everybody we're back on Parler. Parler was down for a little while today. I don't know if anybody noticed that or not, but I could not get onto Parler. And I couldn't actually post the early show, this morning show on Parler. So I'm hoping that things stay on here. And I'm now an approved member on Parler, so that came through as well. So I'm still a verified user, whatever. But that doesn't show my picture. Oh, there it is. There I am. Okay. Yeah. The last show that I put on there was yesterday's show. So I will fix that and put today's show, this morning's show, as well as this afternoon's show on there. So once that gets processed. Once again, folks, thank you for listening, wherever in the world you might be. Thank you for subscribing and sharing this podcast. Really helps out a lot if you do that. Just interested in reaching people and getting some interaction from people and developing a show that's informative and encouraging for everyone, because we know that God is not caught unaware here. He is on the throne. He rules and reigns. He has a plan. Nothing escapes from his eyes. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. So it's comforting. Even my own stuff will be revealed. You know what? Bring it on. I just want to be who I am, who he made me to be. And let the wind blow, as they say. Just blow out all the chaff. So, yeah, there you go. That's all I got to say, folks. I don't really have much more to say. I'm just going to keep on rambling. Well, I got to turn the music up a little too loud there. But once again, thank you. God bless. Have a great day. This is, again, February 16th, 5:22 now on Tuesday. Tomorrow's trash day. Make sure you take your trash out tomorrow at my house. Remind me if I forget. I won't forget, because I have a little reminder at home. She does a great job reminding me. Have a great night, everybody. And Rabbi Rick, wherever you are, under 10 feet of snow, probably, have a good night as well. Hope you get your snowblower fixed. And we'll talk to you later. Great. Good night, everybody.